Wouldn't it be nice to be king or queen for a day? Just think of what you could do if you were king or queen for a day. You could give orders instead of taking them and tell other people what to do. You could wear a crown of jewels and maybe you could be a king or a queen that was so in charge and so wealthy beyond compare. You could say, "I wonder which of my several crowns do I want to wear today?" Or, "I wonder which of my several palaces do I want to spend the weekend in?" Or, I wonder which of my several servants I want to tell to do this task for me." If you were king or queen for just a day, you would certainly have all of that control. What if you could do that and just actually live for a day saying, "The world is my kingdom, everybody else just happens to be here, and I get to decide how things go." That really is the quest of so many human beings, whether they realize it or not, that's what they're trying to accomplish. And it's normal. Pontius Pilate, the judge before whom Jesus was on trial, was the king for the day of the area. He was on the throne. He gave orders. He didn't take them. He's the one who got to call the shots. He was wealthy beyond compare. He was the Roman representative. And so when he asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" Certainly he expected some sort of answer along the normal human quest of wanting earthly power, money, and control for a day or longer. Just think of the question marks that came up in Pilate's mind when he asked if Jesus was a king, and Jesus said this. From John 18, verse 36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place." Pilate must have been so confused because Jesus was saying, "I'm not here to protect my turf. I'm not here to give orders. I'm not here to boss people around and command them to do everything I want because I'm just so me first in everything I do, say, and think." Jesus, earlier, when he was arrested, had told Peter, "Put your sword away," when Peter tried to stand up for him. When he's on trial and the leaders are lying about him left and right, put him under oath, he said, "One day you're going to see the Son of Man coming down from heaven, judging all things, including you. But today is not that day, and so I'm not going to judge you today immediately and harshly. Rather, I'm going to pray for my Father to forgive you when you come to your senses in time, God willing." Jesus' kingdom is not like any other kingdom people desire. It's from another place. It's not of this world. Because Jesus, though he has all power and money and control, has so much more glorious goals in mind than trying to boss people around or amass control. He has this goal in mind, that you could be safe with him for eternity, that your sins and your relationship with God would be pure and perfect. Jesus gave up his life on the cross in order for that goal to be realized. And he assures you today, time and time again, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in him and his word. He assures you that today you will have trouble, but take heart. He has overcome the world, and in him alone you can have peace. You see, Jesus doesn't rule in the way any other earthly ruler would rule. He rules in your heart through his word and sacraments. He assures you of truth that lasts for eternity. And he does so not by bossing people around, but by giving everything up. Jesus, our King, who is not from a kingdom like the rest of this world and not interested in those goals, is tenacious. He is all in. He is a shepherd that does anything it takes to get your heart around his promises. What a wonderful king we have, and thank God Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. That's a kingdom we will always be a part of.